you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. A Democrat, Joe Biden, was sworn in as the 46th President of the United States this week, vowing to end the uncivil war in the country reeling from a battered economy and a raging coronavirus pandemic that's killed more than 400,000 Americans. And today we're joined by Nirmal Ghosh, the U.S. Bureau Chief of the Straits Times, to discuss the major events of Inauguration Day and what comes next. Nirmal, thank you so much. Welcome to Primetime.
Thank you, Rachel.
So Nirmal, first I'd like to ask you, President Joe Biden covered a lot of ground in his historic inaugural address. Overall, what were your thoughts on his speech and what were some of the big takeaways that you had from the day?
Well, for one thing, President Joe Biden rose to the occasion. We have to remember that just about 2 years ago, he was considered pretty much heading to retirement. But he gave what many are saying was an exceptional speech. And also the very fact that everything went off smoothly and it was the right mix of rhetoric, you know, realistic and forthright, but also aspirational, a call to all Americans, a call to stop treating disagreements like war. So three things, really. One, that it all went well. And remember, this is just 2 weeks after the same building was overrun by a violent mob, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly, they had to put on unprecedented security, 25,000 armed troops and all that, but it worked. Two, that President Biden made a speech that by any measure was needed at this very anxious time, as you said, you know, the pandemic and so forth. And three, that Vice President Kamala Harris became the first woman and first person of color. She's Indian-Jamaican, right? To be in the second highest office in the land. Now, this is not to say that everything is going to be rosy. This is still a very divided country, but that day, those were the messages.
And what tone was he trying to set, and how did it compare to his predecessor, former President Donald Trump's speech 4 years ago?
I would say a tone of unity and compassion. Mm-hmm. I was at Donald Trump's inauguration as well in 2017, and that was a harsh speech by comparison. He was very much an advocate for his own base. Of course, he also said he will be a president for all Americans. And I think most presidents have probably said that. But he spent a lot of time articulating grievances and problems. And mind you, he was right in many respects. Those are real issues. But be that as it may, the way he put it was quite harsh and very nationalistic, even parochial. While Joe Biden was much more even, more measured, also strong. Remember, he actually mentioned white supremacy, which is significant. And he talked about manipulation of facts and so forth. So strong, but conciliatory, not confrontational. That, I would say, is the difference in tone, was the difference in tone.
And Biden has begun to undo some of Trump's key policies on public health, immigration, and the climate crisis as well, hours after being sworn in. One of his top priorities is the pandemic response, for obvious reasons. And what's the task ahead of him? What challenges can we expect in the coming days, or perhaps, as they say, the first 100 days in office?
Yeah, that's the key, really, to instilling confidence. If they manage to get enough vaccinations done in 100 days, 100 million in 100 days is the goal. And if that happens, then, you know, it might enable by the late summer, by the fall, it might enable service industries to open up restaurants and bars and so forth. And that will sort of bring back a feel-good factor. Well, just a few hours ago, he did sign 10 executive orders on vaccine distribution and other issues. He's invoked the Defense Production Act. He said this is a wartime enterprise. He made a passionate plea to Americans to wear masks. And it's a mandate now on federal property, which includes airports, trains, post offices, and so forth. You have to wear a mask. He did say it will get worse before it gets better, that the U.S. may top 500,000 dead by the end of next month. So the challenge is to scale up vaccine distribution, which has fallen short, and there are all kinds of issues with actual administration of the vaccine. He is also preparing to send a $1.9 trillion pandemic relief bill to Congress, but he's unlikely unlikely to get all that money. They'll have to be bargains and compromises. But we also had Dr. Anthony Fauci at the White House briefing just a while ago. He said new infections are really up, hospitals are full. And he said there is great concern over people who do not want to get vaccinated. That threatens the whole program. So he said if 80% of the population is vaccinated by the summer, that's July, then by the fall, things should go back to some degree of normalcy. So there is a long way to go, and they are not trying to sugarcoat it.
And seeking to unify the global response to COVID-19 crisis as well, Biden's also walked back the former administration's plan to withdraw the U.S. from the World Health Organization. What impact will that have on the U.S., Nirmal?
The U.S. is at the table and can bring its scientific resources, its capacity to global efforts. It can, you know, participate in early warning mechanisms and save its own population from the kind of thing it's going through now. And it's also a venue where the U.S. can engage and not leave it all to other countries, like China, for example, which was what happened with the previous administration's withdrawal. The U.S. was suddenly no longer in the room. So the U.S., if it wants to be taken seriously, has to be in the room, and which is one of the reasons why it's going back to the WHO.
We're speaking to Nirmal Ghosh, U.S. Bureau Chief at the Straits Times. Now, meanwhile, Biden also announced plans to re-enter the Paris Climate Accord and the landmark international agreement signed in 2015 to limit global warming. How significant is this, Nirmal, for the U.S. and also on a global scale in terms of efforts towards combating climate change?
It's very significant because the U.S. itself will have to relook at its own national goals and recommit nationally, internally to targets. And that means drastically lowering the country's carbon and greenhouse gas emissions, you know, tailpipe pollution regulations, smokestacks, oil and gas wells. And this also means no more championing of fossil fuels. President Biden just canceled the Keystone Pipeline permit. That pipeline would have transported oil clear across the states from Alberta and Canada down to Texas. It was very controversial. So that is suspended. Good for the planet as well. However, it will run into opposition from big corporations.
And finally, Nirmal, for the first time in more than a decade, Republicans are waking up to a Washington where Democrats control the White House and Congress. How will the narrow Senate majority shape Biden's presidency and his administration's agenda?
Well, as you said, it's quite narrow. So Vice President Harris is the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. The big challenge will be to get a few Republicans, maybe three or four, to his side on key issues. The first big one, of course, is the $1.9 trillion COVID bill, which we talked about. There will be a lot of bargaining over that. But that's also quite normal in America's system. You start with a position, then you negotiate, and hopefully you find a palatable compromise. It is not going to be easy. But remember, he and Vice President Harris have both been at this game for a really long time in D.C., so they know how things work. So that part is encouraging.
Well, Nirmal, thank you so much for all of those updates. I know you've got a busy next few weeks ahead, but appreciate you joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Nirmal Ghosh, U.S. Bureau Chief at the Straits Times, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.